Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an occasion where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epha Emmanuel. As we behold God's Word today, we become the true reflection of His Word. You will be blessed.
Yesterday I began to show us that there is a burden for manifestation, but I didn't have the time to establish the protocols that the princes in darkness have established to make sure that the counsel of God will not prosper in time. When you begin to look at the very vast array of the operations of darkness on the earth, it becomes evident that Satan is very strategic and intentional about subjugating the plans of God and making sure his purposes will never prosper. I showed us yesterday that it takes violence in the spirit to cooperate and align with the purposes of God for your life. By default, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And so when we begin to see the forces that we are contending against, the apostle did not leave us in the dark. He says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we are not only dealing with darkness, we are warring against rulers of that darkness. In Isaiah chapter 60 verse 2, it says, behold, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness shall cover the people. I want to establish a foundation. I need your rapt attention now. Isaiah was not mincing words when he said darkness will cover the earth, but when it comes to the destiny of people, he said gross darkness is what is designed against people. The word gross means compounded, it means sedimented, it means thick, it means intense. So Satan is not planning darkness for man. Darkness is for territories. If you are an itinerant minister and you travel around, you will realize there are predominant compromises that characterizes different spaces. When you go to some regions, what you see over that region as a signature of the prince that sits over them is lust. You go to some place, it's greed. You go to some place, it's anger. Now, there are all other assortments of iniquity, but there will be prevalent. There will be a dominant expression of iniquity as a signature of that spirit. There are regions we enter right from the aircraft, sometimes 30,000 feet above sea level. You already know you have entered the domain of a prince, because even fashion, what they accept as fashion, is written, is a script written by the princes, so that if it is not seductive, so that if it's not immoral, it's not in any way approved as fashionable. That is the darkness that covers the earth. What Satan wants is territory. So when you speak about earth there, we are talking about regions. It's because of this kind of quest. That's why you can hear of creatures like the prince of Persia, the prince of Grecia. He's a prince that sits over a region. His pride is the region he has colonized. So God can send an angel, go to Babylon, deliver my message to my servant Daniel. A prince will resist Daniel from entering his domain, will resist Gabriel from entering his domain, on account of the interest that the princes have established. They want territories first, and when they are establishing territorial dominion, what they are doing is to influence fashion. influence politics, influence entertainment, influence religion. All the seven mountains of influence, they build their interest into it, so that it becomes impossible to live within that domain and not feel the pressure of bowing down before them. If you are with me, can you shout amen? There is a darkness over Benue State. Every region have their own. I'm coming from Kaduna. Kaduna have its own shade of darkness. If you are territorial in your warfare, you will know that there are unique layers of contention. Every region have. It is a signature of the prince that sit over them. For those who must answer the clarion call of God for their generation, there are two layers of darkness you must overcome. I'm talking about revival tonight. That's why we must navigate these paths in the spirit. The first layer of darkness is the darkness over the region. That one does not know you. It does not have any personal attachment to you. It is an attempt of the princes. So I showed you that there are such entities called the rulers of the darkness. So the darkness operates like a government, and there are those who sit over it. There are those who rule it. There are princes who consider it an insult to cohabit with men. So their place of abode is in high places. The Bible called them wickedness in high places. If you will contend with their government, you must be a winged creature. You must ascend. You must gain height if you will challenge their dominion. It means you cannot be an earthling. You cannot be earthbound, reduced to the corruption of your region, and then challenge their government. You must ascend. You must ascend. There are some of you, Jesus is preparing you for territorial shifts. Capacities that are willed only by men that have been conferred with influence. You must ascend. I sense a need for prayer. Can we invest 1 minute anywhere we are? Just ask the Lord, plant in me hunger, 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 hunger. Ignite a fire upon this destiny. It is this reason. That's why you can look at people and tell where they are coming from. Because the region has shaped them. The darkness that sits over the region has colonized them. It is the reason why you can look at a man and say, are you from this place? There is something about their lifestyle. There is something about the culture the princes have influenced that has become one with them. Tonight I want men and women who can repel. Others may, but I cannot. I will not be in the flow. I will not be lost. Can you pray just 1 minute with me? 1 minute. Hey! I want a few people who are ready to rebel. I refuse to be sucked into the system. Come out from among them and be a separate, separate, separate. DSU, are you praying tonight? We are waging war against an ancient weapon. We are waging war against an ancient adversary. We are contending against an ancient pool. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Is this how desperate you are? This is not how my story will end. This is not all that will be said about me. This is not all that will be reported about my voyage on earth. There is more to my destiny.
but I will enter by violence. The law and the prophets were until John. He says, after then, the kingdom is preached and men press. Men press, men press, men press into it. Men press! The possibilities of your ordination, they are communicated, but you press! You press to appropriate! You press to lay hold! Listen. Give me your attention if you can. It is my prayer that the few minutes we'll be spending here, it will engender a shift in your destiny forever. I was laying out in very clear terms a structured and deliberate government darkness has instituted to ensure that the program of God is frustrated out of time. And I showed us that there are those who rule the darkness. I showed us Isaiah showing us rather also that the whole world is enveloped by darkness. But this time, Satan is not only interested in claiming territories. He developed another tool to ensure that the prophetic destinies of men will never see the light of the day. And that tool was described in Isaiah 60 verse 2 as gross darkness. So while a particular layer of darkness is to bet the purpose of corruption over a region, there is another layer that is to hide men from ever manifesting. So it does not matter what you have spoken. It does not matter what you were created to be. It does not matter the prophetic signals that went into time before you were born. I don't care whether an angel appeared to your mom and told her who is coming into time. The moment you were born, there is a layer of darkness called gross darkness, whose assignment is to make sure everything God intended for that vessel can never see the light of the day. That's why deliverers die without delivering. That's why saviors die without ever saving. That's why watchmen die without ever keeping watch. Return back to eternity, not ever standing in their duty post for once. Because the assignment of gross darkness is to hide your true identity. Oh, as long as it can keep you oblivious to the prophetic programs of God for your life, it has achieved its intent. Many have not even overcome the darkness that covers the earth, let alone the gross darkness that is actually channeled to man. You came into campus, and now because of the pressure of the realm, the lifestyle of the space, you have wandered into iniquity. There are two layers of darkness. I told you, any man who would answer present to the roll call of Zion will have to fight his way out of. The first layer of darkness is the darkness that covers the earth, and it is a territorial initiative of darkness. I know you said that you are tempted. I know you say Satan is tempting you. It will interest you to know Satan don't know a lot of us yet. You are actually overhyping yourself. Maybe you saw a lady dressed scantily as a brother, and you could not resist all the sensitive parts that were displayed in the vehicle you entered. And you believe that there was a temptation, that there's this kingdom of darkness. They are trying to tempt you so that they will bring you down. It will interest you to know that the lady that you are feeling tempted by, she does not know you from anywhere. You met her in the bus for the first time. While she was dressing, before she comes out of her house, she was not thinking about you. She was only aligning to a script of fashion that the princes that actually sit over the realm have actually written in detail. So it is not fashionable until there are seductive tones to it. So she is only responding to the dictate of fashion that the princes and the rulers of darkness have written over the region. You say Satan is tempting you, and Satan don't know you yet. Because as at the time where we are contending with the atmosphere, contending with the culture of iniquity, Satan don't know you yet. It's only those that overcome the darkness that covers the earth, they are the ones that become candidates to face the gross darkness that is actually prepared for men. What you have been falling and rising for, what has been cutting short your spiritual lifespan, you are falling for your environment. It's a territorial initiative of darkness you are falling for. No spirit has come for you yet. You are a victim of your space. You are not worth designing anything for yet. When your life begins to challenge the culture of your space, when your life begins to go against the flow, where you are no longer pressured because this is the popular thing people are doing, where your life begins to go against the tide of corruption, then your head will pierce through the canopy of darkness that covers the region. It is those ones who are able to pierce through. They are the ones spirits now know their name, so that they can say, Paul, I know. It's demons that are calling his name. They will know you if you have overcome the challenge of your generation. And tonight, it is my prayer that as we submit ourselves to the workings of grace, everything that makes men weak in the region, everything that veils the ordinations of men from seeing the light of the day, may God empower you to rise above them in the name of Jesus. It is because of reasons like this. That's why mighty interventions are sent into time, but they never manifest, because they were hidden by the darkness in Benue, hidden by the darkness in Kaduna, hidden by the darkness in Enugu. Every layer has something contending to make sure that the very men God sent will never emerge. The first three verses of Genesis chapter 1 will happen in the life of every man. In the beginning, God created Alpha Emmanuel. Verse 2, and Alpha Emmanuel became without form and void, because darkness took responsibility for the collision that has happened and the alteration that has bedeviled Alpha Emmanuel. If my life stops in this chapter and in this verse, I am doomed forever. There is a third verse in chapter 1. It says the Spirit of God began to move, and God said, let there be light. It means anywhere darkness attack, the outcome of that attack is that it will render that thing out of form and it will be void. Out of form means it will lose alignment. Void means it will be empty of all of the inheritance of God that is will to that destiny. So this is what darkness is actually designed to achieve in your life. Number one, denature you from God's prophetic design. Number two, rid you of all the deposit of eternity God wired into you from the labs of ordination. Is to make sure that your whole life will become an aimless movement, wandering to and fro the earth, never able to live up to the prophetic program of God. It didn't start from you. This is the same thing that we saw when darkness hit the civilizations of the earth. It says, and the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So it was darkness that entered, that now denatured the earth, because God is not capable of creating something that is without form and then is void. Everything he makes it as good. But when you are able to identify imperfections in the creation of God, it means something has happened to it. And we saw that it was because of the darkness. There is a darkness hanging over Makodi, hanging over Benue State, trying to make sure that God's prophetic intent of your life would never manifest. I will show you the protocol of assessing revival fire. Because the only antidote of darkness is light. The only way to rain out of darkness is light. The only way to challenge and win darkness is light. The Bible says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The only way to wage war against darkness and prevail is to emerge as light. But light has a birthplace. Every light is born out of fire. If you want light, you must burn. This is the protocol that we see concerning John in John chapter 5 verse 35. He says he was a burning and shining light. It means if you will shine, you must burn first. It means you only shine to the degree that you burn. It means it is to the intensity of your burning that is the same intensity that you will shine. If you don't burn, you cannot shine. And if you do not burn, there is no light. Because the burning side is the priesthood side. The shining side is the illumination and visibility side. Since darkness is the order of the day, the only way forward to challenge the darkness is to burn. And there is a protocol as to how God ignites us with that fire that helps us to burn. A lot of people start from places of arrogance. They start from places of self-sufficiency. They journey that path of self-reliance until they come to the end of themselves. And many of the times is when it is too late. Many put their confidence in the arm of the flesh. But I came to tell you tonight, brothers and sisters, that your only uniqueness is found in the womb of the Spirit. Everything you will amount to using the arm of the flesh is a copy. Actually, there's no uniqueness in the cosmos for anybody. I know you are studying, and maybe your own confidence is your academic result. For some, it's their beauty. For some, it's their family connections. For some, it's the wealth that has been stored up for them. All of these things will have no weight when destiny begins to lay demand on you to manifest after the order of God. This is why I've come to tell you that until you burn, your real identity cannot be unveiled in time. It is our burning that actually displays our shining. You only shine to the degree that you burn. So concerning John, he was a burning and a shining light. Since Isaiah already told us in Isaiah 60 verse 2 that darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness will cover the people. Everybody under the sound of my voice who have become victims of the darkness that covers the earth, gradually you have actually begun to suffer with layers of lust because you wandered into a space dominated by impulses, dominated by incense of lust. You are only reacting to your territory, reacting to the atmosphere. You are reacting to the first layer of darkness every valiant must fight and win. You are not the first. Every man whose horn has been exalted from Benue also needed to fight that warfare. You will not be the last. It's a protocol every generation must act and partner with. You must actually overcome the urge on your inside and every appetite that wants you to become weak and become subservient to the things you desire. That's why a man must actually deny himself. Because the first thing you must do to overcome the corruption of the realm is to deny yourself. The devil will partner with your flesh and show you all the things that are appealing. But a man must look away from his own desire if you are going to overcome the rich and the rigid protocol that Satan has established over this domain to make sure that men don't emerge. Others may, but we cannot. Our testimony is not like the world. We have been called out of every language, every tribe, every culture. We do not belong in the system. It says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Be ye separate. There is a summon tonight to overcome all of the secret desires that dominate you in secret. There is a summon tonight to overcome the proclivities of corruption that has dominated you in the private places. People think you are a valiant. People think you are an elder brother. People think you are an uncle in the faith. But in the secret, you are a can of worms. I show you the program of darkness. This is why many are called, but in the day of manifestation, only few can be chosen. Because the devil has weakened us in secret. Many are battling one secret sin or another. And so we cannot lift up the horn of our ordination. The standards of God remain sure. It cannot fall because of the sin of your generation. There is only one requirement. you can only manifest upon the mounts of Zion. That's where men are summoned to blow their trumpet. It says in Joel chapter 2 from verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound your alarm upon my holy mountain. That trumpet is your message. That alarm is the unique message given to you to come and echo inside time. He says, blow it in Zion. And just in case you actually argue that Zion is not a mountain, he says, sound an alarm upon my holy mountain. That is the only designated place for manifestation. If you speak from the valley, you'll be making noise over your generation. I have observed that the things I'm saying now that is rattling regions are the same things I've been saying since, and men didn't pay attention to. It is about consecration. As you journey the mount, when you arrive on Mount Zion, you will say the same thing people laughed about yesterday. But now, because of where you stand, there is stature given to your words. It is Zion that gives volume to your utterance. But there is a rigid demand on who can stand there. In Psalm 24 verse 3, it says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand upon his holy mountains? He that has a clean hands and a pure heart, that has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. This is the aptitude test to ascend the mountains of the Lord. You can be talented, you can be gifted, you can have all kinds of capacities lurking on your inside, but the mountains have a rigid protocol. If you don't have a clean hands and a pure heart, your hand is symbolic of your transactions with men. Your heart is symbolic of your standing with God. It is only God that sees your heart. Only spirits can appraise your heart, but men see your transactions. So it means in your dealings, in the physical, in the open, and in the secret, you must be pure. Every man whose intent for purity is to make an impression with men, so that men will look at you like a hypocrite, wearing white long robes as though you are clean, but in the secret you are corrupted, is an ancient warfare. It didn't start with this generation. You can move around like one helped of God, and all your statements have so much tone of spirituality to it. But God cannot build anything with you. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And until children become sons, the government cannot be placed on their shoulders. The heir, as long as he remains a child, he differeth nothing from his servant, although he be Lord of all. I'm telling somebody that this rising and falling, up today, down tomorrow, hot today, cold tomorrow, you would never be able to lift the horn of your ordination that way. Satan knows you remain a child forever. Ever learning. Ever making mistakes. I know you think you are enjoying the grace of God because you have found the way to always confess and run back. You have found the way to commit willful sin and engage some spiritual exercise to find peace again. I show you that you will never be able to build anything divine in time. God will never be able to midwife any of his agenda through your life. Because if you must stand and blow your trumpet, there is one prescribed place. Never negotiable. You blow the trumpet in Zion. You sound the alarm upon his holy mountains. But who shall ascend that mountain? He that has a clean hand and a pure heart. I came from a region whose debate, whose challenge, whose warfare is immorality. I've seen it silence many valiant men. I've seen ministry die because of it. I've seen witnesses lose their voice because of it. I've seen the campaign to make sure that you are not able to live up with that demand of God. I'm showing you today that you too must fight the battle of your realm. And when you come out, there is a second layer of darkness waiting for everybody. The gross darkness that was designed for man. If you are not able to actually overcome the excuse of your generation, you can't fight the second layer of darkness that was designed for man. The one that was made for man has not even come yet, but you are falling already. You are a victim of the realm. Look at you now. You are looking like Benue State. You are looking like the area. We are not from this place. That's why no region should conform us, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. There is a conformation agenda. They are laboring to make sure you look like where you are coming from. Can somebody shout, God forbid? They are working round the clock to make sure you look like your atmosphere. They are trying to saturate every fiber of your being, from music videos to advert of soaps, everywhere nudity and pornography dominating the airway, so that before you go to bed at night, there will be achieved a shift in your heart. Corruption everywhere you turn, contamination everywhere you face, so that every day you go out, it is not the same man that went out that will come back. Layers of corruption would have attempted to perch on your soul. One more time, I give you a minute. Light a fire upon my spirit, Holy Ghost. Separate me from the corruption of this age. Remove me from the corruption of this generation. Separate me by fire. When Isaiah cried, I am a man of unclean lips, they carried a coal, and they dropped it on his lips. If you want revival fire, it begins with a cry for repentance. Separate me. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. I speak tonight to valiant men sent into time who have become victims of territorial initiatives of darkness. I speak to men who are battling one warfare in the secret or another. Your story cannot end like that. Won't you cry tonight? Separate me. DSU, a holy people will emerge. A generation without guile, without corruption. Then you will begin to see the beauties of holiness and the splendors of purity. Then you will see your inheritance. Ram, you don't need to ask for. They are reserved for those who love God. And the proof of love is obedience. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Ask for fire. I don't know why I love immorality. Put a fire in my heart that will love you more than any other passion. A fire in my soul that will love you more than pleasure. I know you think you have seen passion. Wait until fire comes. When fire comes, you will find a hunger nothing can quench. You will find a desire nothing can satisfy. Replace that hunger for immorality. Replace it with fire, Jesus. Why are you trying to do it on your own? You can't move without hunger. But the Holy Ghost can supply hunger. He can supply hunger tonight. He can supply hunger. Oh, look at how weak your prayer life has become. Ashes on the altar, because it has not been ignited for a while. Look at how dusty your study life has become. It's because there's no fire. I don't want to pretend anymore. Make me one of the burning ones. Set me on fire. For if we can burn, only then can we shine. We must be burning before we shine. We must be burning before we shine. We must burn. I don't know why you are quiet. I don't know why you are quiet tonight. Can't you see that time is not on your side anymore? Who told you when you grow up? Who told you there's anything like that? You grow by stature. It's stature. and you contend for things, the chronological passage of time will not be any advantage to you if you don't secure the hand of spirits. Hey! Something divine must come upon you if you will stand out. The journey begins from priesthood. It begins from priesthood before kingship. It begins from priesthood before kingship. It begins from burning before shining. Burning before shining. Brother, forget about the invitations. Forget about the ministry. Just burn first. Burn first. The nation will come and look for you anywhere you are. Any village you are, they will seek you out if you can burn. Look at how cold you are. This is why you are floating through time. Not intentional about anything. Not even concerned that we are dominated. Not even concerned that we have been limited. How can you be seeking pleasure in a time like this? How can you be seeking comfort when men cry? Can't you see that your true identity has not entered time yet? You are moving around. In your heart of hearts, you know. You know there's nothing weighty about you yet. You know there is more to your destiny. Can't you press a little more? The kingdom is preached and men press into it. Would you not press? You want to come and carry the mic and sing another song again tomorrow? Are you not offended that spirits don't journey through your work? Nothing divine is midwifed into time. We have witnessed by a false light. In Genesis 1 verse 16, he says he made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. There's a difference between the greater light and the lesser light. The greater light is the sun. It is a burning and shining light. The lesser light is a moon. It's a shining light that does not burn. This is the shade of Christians that the end time, the shade of Christians that darkness is deliberately producing. Men who attempt to shine without burning. Men who attempt to be luminaries without priesthood. Men who attempt to advance the counsel of God without actually striking relationship first. If we will manifest, we must come after the order of burning and shining lights. May the fire from your presence purge my body. May the fire from your presence purge my body. May the fire from your presence purge my body. May the fire from your presence purge my body. May the fire from your altar, purge my body. The fire from your altar, purge my body. Yeah, 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 yeah. For want of time, so that we also have something we can take home. Let me try to structure my conversation in a very few minutes. The protocol for assessing revival fire is what I've been trying to establish. I'm going to quickly use the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal to establish the protocol for revival fire. In 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 30, we have seen that there was a contest on the mount. The prophets of Baal were given the opportunity to go first. They did all that they knew to do. I believe personally that fire was not a rocket science for them, because if they agreed to that contest, it means that there was a confidence they had about invoking fire. There are several miracles that happened on that contest, but I will be basing our discourse tonight on how fire fell from heaven, because many a man tonight will need that divine fire to fall upon their life. The moment the prophets of Baal were done with their gymnastics and their jamboree, came to the turn of Elijah. And he began to show us a pattern. From 1 Kings chapter 18, from verse 30, the first thing we saw, the Bible says, Elijah repaired the broken altar of the Lord. And when you read about altars being repaired, it's a gesture of repentance. The first criteria, the first protocol for revival fire is repentance. The broken altar of the Lord must be repaired. The meeting place where God dialogue with men, the arrangement of communion with God must be repaired. There is no connection with God, no conversation with God, until the relationship that has been faulty is repaired. The Bible says concerning Jesus, He told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. If you have not received Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, there is no conversation about revival fire. That's why many are praying in tongues, but still living in iniquity. Because for some reasons, the devil has found ways to buffet us on many sides. And he has actually compromised the faith of many a man using that tool of deception. Immediately the broken altar is repaired. In verse 30, it means everything that has altered and created a fault in your relationship with God must be repaired. And there is only one way to go about repairing the altar that is broken, is repentance. The only thing God wants to hear from a sinner is, I am sorry. That's the only prayer God wants to hear from a man who has transgressed the law of God. Asking about academic success, asking about protection, you are the prayer of a sinner is an abomination before God. All God wants to hear from a man who has violated his law is, I am sorry. The altar that is broken must be repaired. Next, in verse 31, the Bible says Elijah arranged 12 stones. He arranged 12 stones, and those 12 stones signifies the 12 tribes of Israel. It actually connotes relationship and submission to the program of God. So the moment salvation has been achieved, the next thing a man who contends for revival fire should be immersed in, should be totally dedicated to, is to build relationship with God. Not just about having a date where you gave your life to Jesus on the cover of your Bible, but to go on deliberately living consciously that the Holy Ghost now resides on your inside. Deliberately living with the consciousness of this new relationship. Deliberately living with the consciousness of this new arrangement you have been brought into. Arranged 12 stones signifying the 12 tribes of Israel. Meaning, I did not come as an outcast. I have joined myself to the commonwealth of Israel. I am one of the household of God. If you are going to maintain relationship, communication must play a major role. No relationship survives without communing, without communication. No relationship survives without regular feedback. And so this is the reason why immediately the 12 stones were arranged, we go to verse 32. You begin to see in verse 33 and 32, Elijah arranged woods. Woods there signify prayer, priesthood. He says the fire on the altar must never go out. The priest must add wood to it every morning. Wood is symbolic of your priesthood exercise. So apart from relationship, apart from the salvation that we have gotten after the broken altar is repaired, relationship that comes as the arrangement of 12 stones, woods must be arranged on those 12 stones, which means a very rich, a very rigorous culture of priesthood. You pray without ceasing. Even the disciples, it is as they prayed that the Holy Ghost came down. Prayer is the vehicle for revival in every timeline that we have studied. That fire can never fall until men pray. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will hear them from heaven, and I will heal their land. Prayer. I'm not talking about congregational enterprise of priesthood. I talk about a desperate cry in your soul, searching for something that is not mundane, looking for the hand of God to rest upon you yet again. Arrange woods. Whisper to that brother, that sister by your side, arrange woods. Tell them, arrange woods. We learned something from the contest on the mount, that fire is not commanded, fire is attracted. If you set the right protocol into motion, fire will fall by itself. The Bible says even before Elijah prayed, before the prayer even left his mouth, the heaven opened and fire fell. It means if you meet the right protocol, if you meet the right condition, fire is attracted. Who told you can be praying deliberately, diligently, consistently, regularly, fervently, and spirits will not start talking about you? Oh, when spirits begin to dialogue about men, your name will start popping up. over and over again. There is a brother in Makode. There is a young man in Benue State. It is your consistent quest. You attract it. You attract it. There are many prophecies hanging over our generation. Just as it was in the dispensations before us. A virgin shall be with child. They didn't say Mary. Any virgin that actually aligns will carry it. Saviors shall arise on Mount Zion. They didn't call any name. Anybody can press into it. I'm showing you that it is your alignment. It is your ability to align to the rigid protocol. It attracts God to you. It attracts the interest of spirits to your life. Who told you all of us are the same? With time, those who are laboring, those who are pressing, the law and the prophets were until John. But after that, the kingdom of God is preached and men press into it. Those who are laboring in prayers, those who are laboring in the word, those who are giving themselves to the exercise of fasting, meditating regularly, internalizing scriptures, you are not together with them, believe me. They are already miles ahead, but it will take time to announce the difference. You want revival fire? In verse 34 to 35, Elijah said, pour water. Hi. Oh. We are looking for fire, and a man said, soak the firewood with water first. We are looking for fire. Are you not looking for how to get dry sticks? Elijah said, pour water on the wood. When they poured water, he cut the sacrifice into pieces. Oh. That water that is poured is a very rich and voracious study of the word. It symbolizes a rich and voracious culture of studying the word of God. You want to attract fire? I show you an unnegotiable path. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everything you read can recreate themselves in your life as you are studying. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, for we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass, we are metamorphosed, we are changed into the same image of what we are beholding. Cut the sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Lord, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, a life of consecration. You must be totally surrendered to God. Not this one leg in, one leg out. We do hot today, cold tomorrow. You want revival fire? Go all out. Lord, I am totally for you. Enable me, embrace me, empower me to stand by this decision. You must offer yourself as a sacrifice. Even before he receives it, you must offer yourself first. Lay yourself on the altar. If you try the things I'm sharing with you, you will witness a dimension of God not even you know was domiciled within you. There are layers, realities only consecration can unveil. Immediately water was poured on the wood and sacrifice. Then Elijah lifted up his eyes to the heaven and opened his mouth. Before he was yet speaking, fire fell from heaven. You want that fire? I show you the path. The broken altar of God must be repaired. Tonight I'm speaking to people. People who already see the altar. You were born into a Christian home. You were born into a Christian family. They even gave you a Christian name. They tried to introduce you to the altar, but as you navigated your way through life, seasons of compromise came up. Now the altar is relegated and the stones are all scattered apart. That broken altar of the Lord must be repaired if revival fire must come. And the fire I speak about is the fire that helps us burn. And if you don't burn, you can't shine. And if you don't shine, you cannot be light. And if you are not light, you can't witness in darkness. And if you cannot witness in darkness, your existence counts for nothing. The journey starts from fire. I don't know the path. I didn't plan what God is doing with my life. I only submitted to fire. Fire will choose your future. Fire will choose your wife. Fire will choose your career. Fire will choose where you will live. Fire will spell everything out for you. Everything is actually it is captured in that encounter with fire. Jesus says, don't do anything. I know you are creative, but tarry first in Jerusalem. I know you want to quickly do something. He says, wait in Jerusalem until wait for fire. Some of you are already on your expressway to a questionable end. You are already hurrying to nowhere, rushing as though you have a plan out of campus. Don't you know that the world has many copies of you? You think it's just because you graduated with a good result that your life is made? Do you know how many graduates is churned out of the universities in Nigeria every year? Do you know that those who were churned out last year have not even found their place yet? Even those who were churned out 10 years ago are still looking for a place. And you think you can enter your ordination with arrogance? Except the Lord watches over a house, the watchman stayeth awake in vain. Except the Lord builds a house, the laborer, he labors in vain. So that you don't labor in vain. It's called the labor of the foolish. The Bible says it wearieth them all, because they know not the way to the city. For those who know that I have nothing except God. Yes, we are doing very well in our academics. I speak highly of that. I have done my due diligence. I have even done my master's. I have done due diligence to my academic demands. But I'm telling you, God must anoint that result if it will open doors for you. Something must come upon it. They announce one opportunity, one job slot, and more than 10,000 people applied for one job. What criteria would they use to pick that one? Sometimes when we show up for some jobs and you see the crowd, you will know that if you don't have the help of God, make sure before you leave BSU, you are not only living with a BSC. Let the realm of the spirit confer a certificate on you as well. Because something that you carry from spirit will become your added advantage. Do your due diligence. Study very well. And pass your academic work well. But as it all pertains to you also, labor in the spirit to get a badge as well. My altar is calling you, oh God. My altar is calling you. This sacrifice is calling you, oh God. This sacrifice is calling you. Take your place, oh God. Take your place. I don't want to be lost in time. I don't want my existence to be wrapped up in darkness. There's a song the elders sing. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine. You may be born into that family. Everybody held bound by sickness. Everybody held bound by poverty. curses, yokes of delay have ridiculed people's lives. Some of you were sent to school as the last hope. Some of you were sent to school through pain and through struggle. Some of your parents needed to do menial jobs just to ensure that the next generation gets a shot at success. Everything within their capacity, humanly, they tried. But we are waging a war where spirits have their interests. You came to campus and forgot the labors of those who sent you. Now you are bouncing around like one who has arrived. Meanwhile, there is one mama somewhere waiting, trusting God that in a few years from now, you will dry the tears of many generations. How would you fulfill your calling when iniquity have dominated your soul? How can you command deliverance over Jacob when you yourself has been put under lock and key? Look at how very vulnerable you have become. The people you were sent to command deliverance over don't know that you too have chains over your hands and feet because you gave yourself to the bed of pleasure. Many have turned their back on their ordinations. Some of the names given to you is a prophetic sign of the expectations of those who bore us. They looked at some of you and called you Moses. Their hope is that this will lead us to the promised land. They saw some of you and called you Deborah. They are hoping a warrior prophetess will emerge. But look at what have become of you. A man given to wantonness, kept under lock and key, a slave. A warrior sent from Zion has become a prisoner. Oh, what a pity. The lights are already in Benue State, but they must arise before they shine. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, it says, arise. Shine! You can't shine until you arise. Arise from where? The gully of corruption, the miry clay of iniquity, the valley of condemnation. Arise! Shine! When Jesus was in the world, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When Jesus was living, he looked at us and said, ye are the light of the world. You are a city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. So it is your prophetic ordination to be a light over anywhere you were sent into. I am the light of my family. You are the light of your family. Darkness is still reigning over that family because your light has not begun to shine. And you didn't shine because you refused to arise. The prodigal son said, I will arise. I will arise and go back. Are there people the Holy Ghost is steering to arise tonight? Rise from the bed of corruption. Rise from the chains of procrastination. Rise from the chain of distraction over this generation.
Transformation is sure by the word of God. To be a kingdom partner with AMI as we advance God's agenda, contact us on 080-35-234-762 or send us an email to anapazopartnership@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anakazomissioninternational.ami. Join us on our Telegram channel at Anakazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.